Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I'd like to welcome those watching, our folks who watch remotely and are with us this morning. I'd like to welcome them. 22 viewers, or excuse me, devices online from Texas, Missouri, Iowa, Georgia. We're glad that you are all with us this morning. Our memory verse for this month that we are working on, and our family devotionals that we have available, those are on our website and they're available on the communion table. But our memory verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. All right, that's an easy one. So I want to take us this morning to, we have a number of stories in Scripture, a number of records of godly mothers and God working with them. And so this morning, one of my favorite stories, let's go to Luke chapter 1, and we'll read about one mother in particular named Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1 verse 5 says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Scripture points out she is of the daughters of Aaron. In the tribes of Israel, they were to marry within their tribe. And so to be a priest, you had to be a Levite and a descendant of Aaron. And so this would be true about a number of families in the first century, but it was certainly true about Elizabeth. So we have this godly family. Zechariah, they're a priestly family. And we read about them here, that we read a little further and see that they're righteous before God, they're walking with God, they're walking blamelessly. And then we find out that Elizabeth, she is barren, she cannot have children, so they have no children, and both of them are advanced in years. And so Scripture talks about one day, Zechariah, he's at the temple taking a shift. They would have shifts and duties, and a period of time they would serve, then they would go home and be off duty for a while. And so, but this is time when Zechariah was on duty, and it was his job to go into the temple and burn incense. So he's in the temple by himself, and an angel comes and appears before him, and an angel talks to him. And Zechariah has the same reaction to this angel that most people in Scripture had when they saw an angel, which was fear. When people saw angels in Scripture, unless the angel really concealed himself and really appeared very much human, normally the reaction was fear. In fact, I think in angel training 101, the first thing angels need to know, if you're going to go to earth, you're going to need to tell whoever you're appearing to calm down a little bit. Don't be afraid. I mean, all the angels do that. And so this angel appears. So Luke 1:13, the angel said to him, "Zechariah, do not be afraid, Zechariah," because Zechariah's unnerved here because he's seen something supernatural. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." So this is good news. You and your wife, you've been wanting a son. You've been praying, now probably praying for a child. But in the first century, a son was extra valuable or important in society for different reasons. But they would want a child. They've been praying for a child. And this angel comes and says, "Your prayer has been heard." And I want to encourage all of you to keep praying. Have you ever prayed for something and it didn't happen, or it didn't happen immediately, or you're praying right now and it's not happening yet? Keep praying, all right? Keep praying. Verse 15, then the angel says, he says, "He," this is John, his name will be John, this is John the Baptist. If you don't know, this is John the Baptist that will be born. "But he will be great before the Lord." I want to encourage, and I want to give a lot of encouragement to mothers this morning. Now, this will you will receive meaning from Scripture in this lesson, all of you. But all who are not mothers, but I'll speak directly to mothers. Mothers, Pray for your children to be great before the Lord. Keep praying for that. Every parent, every mother wants their kids to do well. We want them to do well, and when they're growing up and they're good at different things, or as adults, they succeed at different things, we're proud of them, we want them to do great. I want to encourage you to go a step higher and remember to pray that they're great before God. Pray that they're great before the Lord. That means that they're faithful to God, and keep praying. All right, so the angel, he goes on, the angel says he must not drink wine or strong drink. So this would be John's future. He would be a Nazarite. This is a vow that he would, a similar vow as Samson, but he would not drink wine, strong drink. It says he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Now this is all just the angel and Zechariah in the temple. He's going to have the Spirit of God from the womb. Then the angel says, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him, that's Jesus, we know that's Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Let's stop there. He's going to turn many people back to God. Wonderful. Wonderful. What a wonderful thing. He's also going to be and be a forerunner of Jesus. He'll go before him, that's the Lord, in spirit and the power of Elijah. Now, if you were a first century Jew, first century Jews were living under oppression of Rome, and they did not have independence, and they did not have freedom with their kingdom. But the scripture and the prophets said, a time's coming when you will. You're going to rise up, and you'll have a savior. You'll have another king after the lineage of David. He'll be a king like David. And they were looking forward to that. And part of the prophecy was, Elijah will come first. In fact, when Jesus talks to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, even the Samaritans were looking for a Messiah. So a first century Jew would know, not only are they looking for a Messiah, someone to be born to be a king of their nation and revolt against Rome, that was their understanding. They also knew Elijah was coming back first. When Jesus is on the cross and he's crying out, there's a moment that they give him something to drink. They think he's calling Elijah. Everybody's thinking, now Elijah hasn't come yet. And here we learn that Elijah is coming in the spirit. This is the spirit and power of Elijah. It was not ever prophesied or meant to be literal Elijah. But the part that Elijah is coming first is John the Baptist. That's this boy. That's this. And Zechariah would be his father. And so this is a powerful thing to a first century Jew in the power of Elijah. Now we're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about Jesus coming. Not Elijah, that he'll come after. Now, then he says, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. This is what the angel's telling Zechariah. This is wonderful. I mean, there's not much higher than this. We'll see in a minute. This angel will appear to Mary, and then we get the highest. That's Jesus. But this here, what this child is going to do is so wonderful. It's so big. All right. Well, Zechariah, here's his response. Bless his heart. Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Now, we don't know the context of how he said this, but I want to share some other translations of this phrase, how shall I know this? New American says, how shall I know, how will I know this? And the New Century says, how can I know that what you say is true? And the NIV reads, how can I be sure of this? In other words, Zechariah, in the way he says this, he's saying, I'm not so sure about this. He's expressing doubt. And the angel, look what the angel says. I am Gabriel. And we didn't know which angel this was until now. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Things get a little more serious now. I love this phrase, this statement, I stand in the presence of God. I mean, Zechariah already knew he was supernatural, already knew he was an angel, or surely suspected. And Gabriel says, listen, you should not doubt. So reading on, the angel says, behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Well, Zechariah's been in there a while. Like, it doesn't take this long to burn incense. And the people, the other, you know, priests, Levites outside, they're wondering what's taking him so long. He comes out, he can't talk. He's making, I would call sign language, but he doesn't know sign language. Angels in Scripture don't have wings, so he wasn't doing this, but somehow he's trying to say, I saw something in there. Then he keeps serving, by the way, fun fact. He finishes his job. Just because he can't talk doesn't mean he can't work. And he finishes his duties there. Then he goes home. And by the way, he is mute for at least 9 months. Can't talk. So verse 24, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. It was probably an embarrassment for Elizabeth to not have children. That was so desired in that day and time. And such a burden to not be able to have children. And her statement, I want to remind mothers, her statement, she praises God for what he has done for her. Mothers, what has God done for you? What has God done for you? And I remind you to praise God for that. Praise him. Well, 6 months later, so when Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, Gabriel, he comes back. He goes to a virgin that's betrothed to a man. They live in Nazareth. His name was Joseph of the house of David, and her name was Mary. And he appears before her. Same thing. She is afraid. He says, relax. The Lord is with you. And then, verse 30, he tells her, don't be afraid. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. By the way, that kingdom is the church. 2,000 years later, you and I are meeting right here, and there are Christians around this globe meeting. That's God's eternal kingdom. Isn't that something? And we're a part of that. So this is the angel talking to Mary. And he tells, if you think it was big what Zechariah heard about John, this is about the Son of God. This is about the Savior. This is about Jesus. So the angel Gabriel, he tells Mary, your son will be the Messiah or the Christ. And both Elizabeth and Mary, they are related, and they are now both pregnant. And they'll have about 3 months that they are both pregnant together, and Mary will go and spend time with Elizabeth during that time. They both will have sons destined for greatness, one John the Baptist and the other Jesus. I just think that's amazing. I think it's precious, this story about these two and the destiny of their sons. And neither one of them, it was a miracle for either one of them to have a child in the way that they did. And they were blessed. Elizabeth was blessed and Mary was blessed. And mothers are blessed with joys, and mothers also have sorrows. Mothers, do you worry for for your children? If you're a mother and you worry for your children, raise your hand. I'm not even looking to find one that doesn't. That's what mothers do. That's what they do. Mothers worry for their children. And God understands that. God put that in you to worry for your children, to be concerned. And your prayers are precious to God for your children. Keep praying. All right? Now understand, these mothers, they experience joys and honor, and they also experience sorrows. Neither one of them had their sons in their old age. Or never. What I mean is they did not experience their sons in their old age because John is killed. He's beheaded. He grows up, he does his job for Jesus, then he's arrested, and then he's beheaded. Jesus, he grows up, he performs his job, he's crucified. Then he goes back to heaven. Mothers are blessed with joys, and they also experience sorrows. And I want to remind mothers that God is with you. He's with you in your sorrows. Keep loving, keep worrying, keep praying. All right, so verse 34, reading on. Mary says, how will this be since I am a virgin? Mary's answer sounds a lot like Zechariah's, but it's different. And one way we know it's different is because the angel reacts differently. Mary's saying, I'm just curious, how's this going to work? Because I shouldn't be able to have, how am I going to have a child because I'm a virgin? And so the angel explains to her, the Holy Spirit will come on you, power of the Most High. And then we have these two verses here, which I love. It says, behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. Mothers, when you pray, remember how big your God is. Pray big prayers. Pray big prayers. He's a big God. God does the impossible. God does things we can't understand. We study this universe, we can't fathom how big it is. God spoke that into existence. Nothing is impossible with God. God laughs at our big obstacles that we pray about. Keep praying and remember how big your God is. Mary makes this wonderful statement here. Verse 38, she says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I love this statement. I encourage you to adopt it. I am the servant of the Lord. Whatever you are, however you view yourself, whether you are a child or a student, or you're good at this or you're good at that, or you view yourself as a mother or a father, or, right? Whatever it is, maybe what your career, your job is. If you're a Christian, I am the servant of the Lord. That's the highest thing you can claim for yourself. It needs to be a humble statement. I serve God. That's my job, period. I'm a servant of the Lord. Well, Mary gets up and she quickly goes to Elizabeth, as you might imagine, and stays about 3 months. And so, no doubt that was a pretty special time together. Verse 41, when this happens, it says, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's what the angel said would happen, and this is when it happened. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And by the way, the baby moving in the womb, I want to state the obvious, but I think it's just a wonderful thing. Only mothers experience this amazing thing of a life moving within you. It's a human life, and it's living. Isn't that something? Only mothers receive this privilege to experience this, and it's a gift from God. And if you have experienced that, you are blessed. That's a privilege. Not everyone does. So verse 43, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord? Now, Elizabeth says some things here. She either does fully understand or she does now. But this is pretty powerful things that she's saying. The mother of my Lord, that'd be Jesus, should come to me. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. She's talking about Mary's faith. Mary believed. She wasn't sure how it was going to happen, but she believed. And so these two, they stay together 3 months, and then Mary goes home, and Elizabeth, it's time for Elizabeth to give birth. She bears a son. This would be John the Baptist. And everyone comes and rejoices because she was old and she was barren. These are two things that were not in her favor. But it's a miracle. And you can imagine the community gathering and celebrating that. Well, then, verse 59, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, no. He shall be called John. Now, in our day and time, that'd be the end of it. I have three daughters, and I tried to get each one of them, just one of them really, either the name Lindsay, or could have been Jenkins, but Jenkins is not a really good name for a daughter. Probably not a good name for a son. But Lindsay, I thought, would be. And since OU's football field is on the corner of Lindsay and Jenkins, I was really going for Lindsay. And that didn't fly anytime. In our day and time, if the mom said his name is going to be John, then that boy's name would be John, and there'd be no more discussion. Mothers just kind of have a trump card here. Typically, with naming children. Well, that's not how it was at that time, because they argue with her. And they said, listen, none of your relatives are named John. I mean, this is out of left field. So they turned to Zechariah, and they made signs to him, inquiring what he wanted the child to be called. Now, Zechariah, he can't talk, and I'm wondering, can he not hear? But they make signs to him, seeing what he wanted, what was his vote. And I love Zechariah's answer here. Now, he hadn't been able to talk all this time. Remember that. Well, he said he needs to write it down. And he writes four words. His name is John. I love it. He didn't say his name should be called John. He didn't write, I agree with his mother, which would have been smart. He didn't write, John is good with me. He wrote, his name is John. Period. Now, he learned the hard way. Right? The angel said his name is going to be John. Elizabeth, she learned the easy way. Some of us learned the easy way. Some of us learned the hard way. But both of his parents stood firm on what God said. God wants his name to be John. His name is John. I love that. And I want to remind mothers, stand on what God has said. Stand on it. Don't move. You keep loving and you keep sharing God's message, but stand on it, mothers. Stand on it. That's true for all of us. And this is just one small example that's a good reminder for us. Mothers, keep praying. The prayers of a mother are precious. They're precious. How many of us, if you have a mother that prayed for you, if you have a mother that was a Christian, maybe she's alive, maybe she's passed, but if you had a mother who's a Christian who prayed for you, how much of your life has been blessed because of that? You don't know. You don't know. Mothers, keep praying. Keep believing and keep serving. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you have something that we could help you with this morning, maybe we could stop and have a prayer on your behalf about something in your life. Maybe there's one that's ready to give your life to Christ, ready to have your sins washed away. If there's something we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
Praise thy faith.